This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to the final edition of Pink Popcorn, the movie review show that finds a little bit of homo in every film. My name is Paul Tonta.
And I'm Kylie Eddy.
Oh, thank you, Pete Dillon from Cravings.
And because this is our last show and the grid has still got another week before a whole bunch of new shows start, or there's some scheduling changes, Pete Dillon has stepped into the fray very kindly and is doing a special two-hour show next week.
Hooray for Pete.
Thank you, Pete. That's great.
And what have we got on the final show this week, Kylie?
Well, we are still reviewing some films.
We have plenty of films coming out.
We've got stuff to do. So we're looking at the new Australian drama, Sleeping Beauty, plus a film that stars Brad Pitt and Sean Penn that's out in a couple of weeks' time called The Tree of Life.
And then we're gonna look back on our favourite films of this year so far and then cast our glance forward to the films that we're most looking forward to this year.
And I guess there's been heaps of films, but we are trying to keep them kind of queer-centric.
Yes.
You know, there's so many films coming out, but we've tried to narrow the focus, as we always do, to those that are gay.
Yes, and there's one particular one, because Kylie and I did our lists, separate lists, and then there was one shining star. So we're looking forward to talking about that shining star coming up.
The one film we agree on.
Yeah.
It might be one of those shows.
It will be. All right. If you'd like to get involved, contact us SMS on 0427JOY949. Just email onair@joy.org.au. And Facebook, Kylie will be frantically social networking throughout the show.
And also, if you're into Twitter, which is my new favourite thing, then you can also find us at Pink Popcorn Flicks.
Mm. And music-wise, because it's our final show, we've pretty much got a cavalcade of all our favourites. It's our favourite.
We do like our Sia and our Washington. We like the girls, don't we?
I know, we do love the girls. Sia and Newly Single, which probably Newly Single Sia, and this is Clap Your Hands. You're on Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9.
This is a Pink Popcorn podcast.
This is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9. The Tree of Life is an impressionistic story of a Midwestern family living through the 1950s, and the film follows the eldest son, Jack, from the innocence of childhood under the watchful eyes of his mother, Jessica Chastain, to the disillusionment of his adult years as he attempts to reconcile a complicated relationship with his father, Brad Pitt. Jack is a lost soul in the modern world, seeking answers to the origins and meaning of life while questioning the existence of faith.
There are two ways through life. The way of nature and the way of grace. You have to choose which one you'll follow.
We're alligators.
You'll be grown before that tree is tall.
It takes fierce will to get ahead in this world. Come on, hit me. Hit me. Come on, son.
He's afraid of you. You expect things of him only an adult can accomplish.
I've just always wanted you to be strong. Be your own man.
What did you think of The Tree of Life, Paul?
You know what? I'm still thinking about this. I saw this Thursday night, and I'm still thinking about it and watching little clips. And the website's actually fascinating as well. I'm getting around the topic here. I'm a huge Terrence Malick fan as well. Lots of puts in here. I was actually disappointed by this film, I've got to say.
Really?
But there's a lot in there. The religious stuff in this film
just makes me gag.
There's
lots of...
Yeah, there's so much choral music. Seriously.
And walking around on the beach to choral music, seeing the people that have gone from your lives and
So there's a lot of that spiritual afterlife kind of la la la, which I can't stand.
And then it's mixed in with the beginning of life, i.e. volcanoes.
Your volcanoes.
Lava for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
No kidding, people. Come on.
This is going to be a great stoner film. You can see like 2000. It is. It's going to be like a 2001 film where people are just going to trip and go, whoa, whatever.
But you know what? It has been compared a lot to Stanley Kubrick's Space Odyssey 2001. Now, I also hate that film.
Oh, really? See, I love that film.
See, I hate it. And I know that I am certainly in the minority on that. But for me, I have never got the appeal of that film. I just, something goes over my head. I don't know. I'm just not interested. It bores me to death. And from the first frame of this film, I started getting really scared. A, that I wasn't close enough to the door.
Because it's long as well. It's two and a half hours. Yeah, 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting film because when we're doing the reviews and this review and getting a synopsis, there really isn't a synopsis for this. And what I said is kind of like, you read this film and you go, really? That's what it's about? Because you go, I didn't really get that. It's really just this very impressionistic, it said that, which is probably the most truest part of it.
Appropriate word.
It's just this kind of, you know, 50s life. And the main character really is this young kid, Jack, who I think is phenomenal.
He is an incredible actor.
Most of this film, of all the actors' faces, are very close up. Like, it's quite, you're in with them. Brad Pitt plays the father. The interesting thing is, on that clip we played, the mother says, there's two ways through life, the way of nature, the way of grace. That's at the start. And it kind of go, okay, this is where it's leading. The father's nature, the mother is grace. And you filter the whole film through those ideas and you kind of go, well, does that mean that nature isn't graceful? Because, you know, I keep thinking about all this stuff and I mean, it's the father's, he becomes quite violent and he expects so much from his children because he's a failure himself. He's one of these, you know, he projects onto his children. And the mother, unfortunately, like a lot of characters in Terrence Malick's films, is very passive and just sort of is the mother.
I had lots of things running through my mind during this film, mainly where will it end?
No, and what were you going to have for
what am I going to have to do? And how can I exit this cinema without making a scene? Because I saw it in a critic screening, so I'm like, oh, it's going to be really embarrassing if I can't handle it. And then about an hour and a half in, I really needed to go to the bathroom. So that occupied my mind for the rest of the time. So, you know, I had my own inner kind of dialogue going. I think what makes me so disappointed about this film is the middle hour is actually fantastic. There's kind of a top and a tail, which is very, I don't even really know how to describe it. And it goes, it's very fanciful.
The top really goes through all the different eras. It basically goes from, it has the dinosaurs, it has like the afterlife on the beach.
Yeah.
It has the bits of the family, but also has Sean Penn who plays Jack as an adult.
Yes. And so he's going really through time zones.
Through time zones and all this lava, lots of lava.
Lots of lava and lots of in the utero.
Yes.
Being borny kind of stuff.
And then the middle section is really the 50s, the kids.
And it's really told from the perspective of Jack, this young child, and it's from his moment of birth. And it's him growing up. And, I mean, obviously there's no narrative really. It's just little slices of life from himself. And I have to admit, I found that really engaging. I really loved that part of it. And that was for probably approximately about an hour. And I really thought that was fantastic. But then the other hour and a half on either side just really, for me, lessened the effect. I don't really like Terrence Malick films. I don't like The Thin Red Line. I don't like Badlands.
Yep.
So maybe I'm not the right person.
Which is true because he does have a sensibility and you're there or you're not. You're really, I absolutely agree. This, I wanted to like this so much. Look, it won the top prize at the Cannes Film Festival.
Oh, won the Pandora. I can't believe it.
Yeah, it's been going like there are five editors on this film.
Oh.
Like literally, that's when you see five editors on a film, people, wow, that's, yeah. And it's been in the editing process for a number of years. Obviously, there's there's some special effects involved. Douglas Trumbull, who did the special effects of 2001, is a consultant on this.
That's a bad sign.
So look, this is a film that you really just do, you got to just sit back, let it sort of absorb and
maybe smoke some
illegal substances.
Maybe we're not condoning, but yeah, absolutely. You know.
But it's a film that it's a very difficult film to first off just to really, you know, kind of get your head around because it's grappling some big themes Is it pretentious?
Yes.
So that's the thing. There's no, you know, and that's the thing.
I know that was a rhetorical question, but I felt I had to answer it.
For me, some of the problems in this film, when you see the Sean Penn character, is just, you go,
what a waste.
What a waste. What was the point of him? Like, you didn't actually, I think apparently there's a, Kylie, you'll freak out. There's apparently a 6-hour version of this film.
No!
Yeah, I know. Seriously, your idea of hell.
No, absolutely.
Mine's a 6-hour version of Bridesmaids. This is your version of hell. The thing, and maybe his character is fleshed out because it kind of would make sense why he's there, because, and it would put everything in perspective
about, really explained.
Does he realize his father, how his father behaved when he was a child. Anyway.
I think it was an excuse to get Sean Penn in one of those crisp linen shirts and have him trouncing around on the beach. I mean, really, I bet he's going to get an Oscar nomination for this.
Well, I don't think so. I think this one's going to be a bit tricky for him. Queer content? Nada.
No. Unless any of the dinosaurs are gay.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I couldn't quite tell.
Compassionate. That's interesting about the compassionate dinosaur. Anyway, I do think this is a film to look, go and see. I think it won the Palme d'Or. I think any film that wins the Palme d'Or can, you've got to see. You know, if you're interested in world cinema. It's just the film to talk about as well. It's a good film to really...
It certainly is. There's plenty to go to, you know, you can talk till the cows come home.
Absolutely. And it's in release next week. We're not sure how wide, but it'll be in cinemas.
And what rating are you
giving? Oh, I'm going to give it 3 stars.
Yeah, I'm giving it 1 star.
Yeah, okay. That's The Tree of Life from Terry McMillan. Now, Robin, we love Robin so much.
We have to play Robin on our final show.
Robin's coming up in a little while with Hang With Me. This is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9.
This is a Pink Popcorn podcast.
Wouldn't be Pink Popcorn without Robin. Hang With Me. This is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9. And seeing as though this is our last show, in case you've just tuned in, tears, many tears, we're going to be talking about some of our favourite films from this year. We're pretty much at the halfway point.
Halfway through the year, a good time to revisit some of our favourite films. We are kind of looking at it from a slightly queer eye. Mm. And one of the highlights, I think, of this year has been I Love You, Philip Morris.
And finally, I would like to thank you for this man, Jesus. This man who pursued me to the ends of the earth, who worked so hard to make us happy. Amen.
Amen.
It's just sometimes I want to cry when I think about how happy I am.
I'm gay.
You're what?
Gay, 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 gay. Have been as long as I can remember.
What do you say?
I see a wiener.
What? There's no wiener.
Uh-huh.
It didn't take me long to realize being gay is really expensive. So I became a con man.
Cash or charge?
Charge.
Credit card fraud. I was selling bad tomatoes. Anything to make a buck.
The one great thing about, this is a fantastic film. It is one of my favorite queer films of the year as well. It is shown that this played at the Melbourne Queer Film Festival and then is on theatrical release and has been incredibly successful.
Well, it's still playing now. If you're quick, it is still playing at Cinema Nova. That's incredible. It's been months.
Yeah, so since March. So that's, I think, for me, one of my highlights, of course, you know, films. But in general, is that the amount of queer films that are in cinemas. So films like Howl, Heartbeats, I Love You, Philip Morris, Kaboom, the Greg Araki film.
It has been a great year for queer cinema.
More queers on the big screen.
And one of the highlights for me has been discovering. I know I didn't discover him. I mean, I discovered for myself from other people that Xavier Dolan, who is the writer, director, actor, costume designer, film ingenue, who is from French Canadian, who did Heartbeats, which would have to be one of my favourite films, not just of this year, but maybe of the last 5 years, and also How I Killed My Mother.
Yes, I Killed My Mother. Yeah, it is. He's an amazing, and he's actually just, he's in post-production now, so he's made another film called Lawrence Always about a transgender. It's a big story. Big story.
Actually, I can't wait to see what he's only 23 or something. So what he's going to do next, I can only wait. So that has been a huge discovery for me this year. Has there been any other highlights?
Yeah, some of my highlights. I mean, the Melbourne Queer Film Festival, the films we talked about before in cinema releases, they're my favourites as well. But in the Melbourne Queer Film Festival, I had some little gems in there. One of my favourite films was Slashed, a short film.
Oh, yeah.
That was Tasmanian. That was just outstanding. Yeah. Also, we had Bonnie here, who was a guest in the studio, for a documentary called Orchids, My Intersex Adventure, which is a Queensland documentary, which is outstanding. I think that was one of my favourite films this year.
Me too.
That will be on TV, I'm pretty sure, later this year. So you'll be able to check that out.
It's a fantastic documentary.
Fantastic. And one of my other favourites was A Marine Story.
I love that too. Yeah. It really delivered. There are so few lesbian feature films that are not kind of histrionic and on the soapbox and also have something to say, but are really kind of subtly acted.
Really gutsy film. Yeah. I thought it was a superb film. Yeah, absolutely. And some of your, Kylie?
Well, I'm going to guess now switch to more mainstream films that maybe are not as queer on the surface. You know, you have to kind of, you
dig deeper.
Yeah, that's like right.
Dig deep.
Black Swan.
Yeah, oh no, well there's queer stuff in that, absolutely.
I mean, there is an incredible girl on girl scene in there that includes some beautiful kind of swan type wings and all sorts of amazing things. So
I love that film.
That film is fantastic, and that is definitely a highlight.
One of the greatest final scenes in cinema
in many a year. It's so great. Actually,
that was perfect.
My partner Rose is in the studio today. She's joined us for our very last show. She's not actually ever been in this new Joy studio, so that's we had to remedy that. Hi, Rose. She's staying very far away from the microphone. Hello, Rose.
Hello.
Now, you just saw Black Swan on DVD recently.
I did, yes.
Did you like it?
I loved it.
Did you like the end?
Yeah, I really liked the end, but I really loved Natalie Portman.
Okay, so we can see where Rose's, where her experience lies. We both like Natalie Portman.
Yeah, it's an easy thing. Yeah, it's an easy.
And I guess decision. Finally, well, no, that's enough of Rose.
Turn the mic up. Get out of here.
Thanks, Rose. The other thing that I think is maybe a bit more of a stranger twist, and I cannot believe I'm saying this is one of my favourite films, but now I've had time to kind of process it, I would like to say that Snowtown has really made an impression on me this year. It really hurt me to watch it, and it was quite harrowing. It does have some queer content in there because some of the victims have this kind of, it's about a serial killer who targets gay men. But I am really, really appreciating what incredible Australian film that has been. It's very masterful. So I wanted to include that on my list.
And that's actually been, I was away that week and we talked about it. Well, you talked about it. And I think it's superb and I've seen it. I work for the distributor of that film, so I sort of had to see it twice for work. Oh, good Lord. And I didn't want to see it the second time. But actually, it improved for me the second time. Actually put so much more the pieces in place. I think it's a magnificent film.
It's a masterpiece. I hope that it gets recognised at Australian Film Awards and wider, because while it is harrowing, I do believe it has a purpose.
It does.
It's not for gratuitous sake. It is really...
It's a very intelligent, thought-out film.
Yeah.
It's so quite superb.
I'm shocked that I've put that on my list, but I wanted to include it. Have you got any final
outsiders? My favourite film of the year...
Oh, it's a big call. So far.
It's Of Gods and Men, the French drama, which has queer content in it, and I think this film is in cinema still in limited release. It is superb. That's the French monks living in Northern Africa. Breaks my heart, that film.
Well, what I will do is put that list of films up on our Facebook page. You can always join us on Pink Popcorn on Facebook. Just search for Pink Popcorn Flicks or go to joy.org.au/pinkpopcorn while the links are there. I will actually be continuing to update our Facebook page. Even though Pink Popcorn, the hour-long show, is over, I will still be doing movie reviews for Joy.
Yes.
So, you know, sign up. Absolutely. It, and you know, I'll put a list of these favourite films up.
And we've just looked back on the first half of this year, and coming up on the show, we'll be looking forward to the films that we're most excited about seeing. But up next, we'll be talking about the new Australian drama, Sleeping Beauty.
This is a Pink Popcorn podcast.
This is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9.
In Sleeping Beauty, Emily Browning stars as Lucy, a student and sometimes upscale prostitute who moves through life with little emotion or passion. Earning her rent from the occasional trick or by participating in medical research, a job ad leads her to a fortuitous meeting with the similarly distant but far more accomplished Clara, played by Rachel Blake. When Clara offers her work as a Sleeping Beauty, Lucy begins a journey into a world that she can never see and a sleep from which she may never wish to wake.
Thank you for coming. Such a pleasure to see such a unique beauty. Let me tell you how I think we should proceed. I'll describe the job and then, if you're interested, we'll discuss particulars. You will be working with other girls, some of whom will have more responsibilities. There is room for promotion. We rely on mutual trust and discretion, and I'm obliged to tell you there are heavy penalties, very heavy penalties for any breaches of discretion. Am I clear?
Yes, you are clear, Rachel Blake, with that very sexy voice.
I was going to say, I'm just about to fall asleep now.
Well,
you're getting drowsy.
Now, you and I have not discussed this at all.
No, having seen it, I'm
quite excited to find out what you feel about it. But before we jump in, I do want to say I had quite an uncomfortable experience watching this film, not because of necessarily the content of the film, but because I saw a midday session at a reputable cinema and it was a very strange crowd.
Ooh.
So there were quite a few...
Raincoat brigades.
Yeah.
Right.
There was quite a few older men in tracksuit pants.
Yeah.
And very dodgy, very strange vibe. And then there were a whole bunch of kind of women who, like girlfriends who were seeing a film together. And it was just a very incongruous kind of mix. And I think that this film might get that kind of, I mean, I'm sure they've thought of this. But it's, you know, for those, for just FYI, if any of those people are listening now, I'm sure that they're probably not. I think you'll struggle to get turned on by this film because it's really not sexy.
Oh, no. This is an incredibly unerotic film. But is it supposed to be erotic?
Well, I don't think it is supposed to be erotic. I think it's purposely unerotic, specifically for that audience. And that means, though, that it is quite an unsettling film.
It's an incredibly unsettling film. It's interesting. We're talking about two films that were in the Cannes Film Festival, competition... Pretentious? Question mark.
I want to kind of answer that one with a yes as well. Yeah. But anyway,
but this film again, it's something that you do. I saw this actually. I saw this yesterday.
Yes, so did I.
And I am still thinking about it. And it's something that I find it's fascinating. It's written. Julia Lee wrote and directed it. She's a novelist.
Yes,
a number of novels. This is her first film. It's the first thing she's ever filmed. Never done a short film.
That's amazing.
Nothing,
yeah,
which is extraordinary. So
yeah.
Directed by a woman, produced by a woman. I find these films about female objectification made by women fascinating. Like really, really, really fascinating.
Do you mean fascinating, not fascinating? Are you being
facetious? No, I'm being serious because I think if a man had made this, there would be a lot of, you know, accusations of misogyny and, you know, objectification, what have you.
Sure.
Because this is, I mean, she's a passive character. Like, I find this really fascinating because she just...
Well, I guess that's kind of the mythology of Sleeping Beauty, that really her power is in her being passive.
Yeah.
But
she gives all her power over for no real...
Reason.
For reason. She just does it. Like, she's a student and she has a number of really boring jobs. The opening scene is quite interesting, the job that she has to do, which is...
This is the medical research
kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's the most interesting thing.
She has to swallow something. And it's something that, obviously, it's very, you know, open your mouth and it's very... It's quite
very penetrative.
Very penetrative. Exactly, that's the point.
But that's about as much as you get, really, in the whole film.
But there's a lot of dualities in this film, like the penetration idea, like because there's later on, you know, one of the rules in the Sleeping Beauty is no penetration.
Just to explain what the Sleeping Beauty is, just in case you didn't know, because, you know, it's so common, is that apparently, men want to pay to sleep if there's no penetration with a woman. And so, there's this woman who gets drugged consensually to spend the night with men.
Yeah. And the rules are no penetration and no harm.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's one of the points. You go, no penetration. What, they can do anything else? They can, you know, like throw her around or yell at her? But she's not, she's asleep. She's drugged. So she can't hear that she's being told X, Y, and Z.
I really think, is that the best you got?
No.
You know, really.
In the film, there's something in the film that's pretty full on, though. What happens to her, that middle guy, the Chris Hayward character.
Yeah, but even so, at the end of the day, he calls her some horrible names and he licks her face. Really? I mean, really.
But there's something else he does, but yeah.
He does do one other thing, I have to admit, that is causing harm. But overall, what you could do, I mean, it's so pedestrian.
Of course.
You're paying a lot of money for a whole lot of nothing.
Of course, but I mean, whether or not this is couch is... No, I agree with you. It's couch in a film. The thing that I also found interesting about this... I mean, I think the psychosexual nature of films, like Eyes Wide Shut, you know, Last Tango in Paris, you know, many European films, it's in the middle of, you know, it's, I think it's set in Sydney. The house where this all takes place is outside, probably the Blue Mountains or somewhere.
Sure.
You know, gorgeous. Everyone is dressed up to the nines.
Yes. Very wealthy clients.
Very wealthy. And that thing about this film, the duality, you got this lower because she's a student, she's got no money, she has to do all these awful jobs. And then, you know, she enters this world of this really, I mean, they're upper class. Like,
sure.
You know, they're really wealthy people.
Well, you have to pay a lot of money to have
someone. You have to pay a lot of money to do this.
Yeah, look, the thing that I struggle with this film is that, you know, it is about sex, and yet no sex is actually shown on screen. There's not even any kissing. There's nothing. And that is clearly a choice. For me, I just found it kind of boring. at the end of the day. Like, there were a couple of I really wanted to know more, and I guess as well because Lucy, the character, it's never really – her motivations are never really explained. There's a whole subplot with another character that you kind of go, that's kind of – I don't really know what's going on there. I can kind of guess, but I don't – I don't know.
Not sure. That subplot is this character called Birdman who – I presume that you're talking about Birdman.
Yes.
Who is – he's basically a recluse. We think he's, you know, addicted to – he's alcoholic or drugs or what have you. And she provides all his food, which involves basically vodka.
And breakfast cereal.
But they have this sort of falsity, their conversation, their dialogue. It's all very false. And so nothing in her life is real. Like, it's quite interesting that her whole life. And then also when she gets money, the thing that leaves, there's lots of questions. What is she, why is she doing it for? And then I also find, and this is a very difficult thing to talk about in this context, the ending of the film.
Oh,
I just went.
Drives me.
I literally went. What?
Yeah.
And everyone in the cinema around me went.
What?
Yeah. Are you kidding?
Yeah. There was a bit of a. And if you sat through that, you. I kind of want a climax.
Yeah.
Let's be blunt.
Or there's something that, like, see. I mean, obviously, I think one of her biggest inspirations is Michael Haneke, the Austrian filmmaker who I love. And his films are often, you know, have these sort of these endings as well. But they have some substance. And these endings, like in Anna McGoyan films or what have you, that tie everything up. Or you go...
Or you want a visual image. Or you want something that you just... Because the opening image is actually really incredible.
It is pretty amazing.
And so you kind of want to tail that with
nothing,
another. But there's it
nothing.
Does leave
this
you
ending,
hanging.
This ending, I find, just go... I'm going, I can't even scratch this to get what this means. It's really not meaning anything. I'm sure someone's going to go, yes, it means this. But I...
Well, tell us. If you know, if you've seen
what
it.
I really found... I head scratch. So look... Queer content.
Well,
there's a little bit in there, but
there's a little bit of kind of lesbian undertones. It's like she's fairly indiscriminate with who she sleeps with, and there is a little
toss
bit
of a coin. Think about that. It's the duality thing. There's a toss of a coin. There's a lot of duality in this film.
So it's but not it's, overt. It's
no.
very restrained. And exactly. There's quite a lot. You see kind of these weird parties where, you know, semi-clad women are going around, but it's very antiseptic and
So yes.
What are you going to give this?
Oh,
film?
It's a really hard one to score. Oh gosh. 2 stars.
Yeah, I'm going to... I might even give it 1.5.
Yeah,
it's
an odd one.
That's
but anyway, sad. It's... it's a talking point film. You know, people will want to go and sit to make their own mind up. And
yeah, there
you know,
were a
discuss.
Lot of people at the cinema, I have to admit, in between the guys in the raincoats. There were a lot of people there. So during the middle of the day. So I think it's going to do well.
Yeah. So it's in very limited release at the moment. So go and check it out, that Sleeping Beauty. Coming up next, we'll be talking about the films that we're most looking forward to in the second half of this year. But right now, this is Punching in a Dream by The Naked and Famous. This is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9.
This is a Pink Popcorn podcast.
This is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9. Oh, good Lord, it's going so fast today. Kylie, our last show.
I know. I'm really, actually, I'm starting to tear up now. Maybe that's the thought of Sleeping Beauty and how sleepy I was.
Rose is going to get in the tissue, so she'll be back in a minute. She'll be back in a bit with the tissues mopping up our ideas. So because we've already discussed the films that we liked in the first half of the year, the films with the queer bent, what films are we most looking forward to the second half? Well... The polls are in. Kylie and Paul, poll.
Yes, we've agreed.
And we've agreed. No, the one film actually I think that is going to be pretty fantastic. It better be, goddammit. It's Beginners. It's the new film from Mike Mills.
My parents got married in 1955. They had a child and they stayed married for 44 years until my mother died. 6 months later, my father told me he was gay.
I'm gay.
I remember him wearing a purple sweater when he told me this, but actually he wore a robe.
I'm gay.
He was gay the whole time they were married. Oliver, I just met a girl.
You point, I'll drive.
This way.
Hello?
Oliver?
Yeah?
They had some wonderfully loud music in the club tonight.
Insane. What kind of music's that?
Probably house music.
Yeah. House music. Okay. House music.
Oh, Chris, that's Christopher Plummer playing the father. So I've thought, he's got his gay badge because Santa Music's, and now this. Poof.
I mean, just the tone of that trailer is right up my alley because it's super self-referential. It is kind of got that postmodern irony because we're hipsters. We love that stuff.
Yeah.
And He talks to a dog.
And he talks to a dog.
All that dialogue, he's talking to a dog. So I'm already right there because I love the doggy.
And the dog's thinking back and has the subtitles of what the dog's thinking.
I know. I'm going to put the link for that trailer up on our Facebook page because it is a fantastic trailer. If it doesn't get you excited about the film, then you're just not gay enough.
I haven't seen it. It closed the Sydney Film Festival last week. I wasn't there for that, unfortunately. But it might be. Can't say, cannot say. It might be the Melbourne International Film Festival coming up, but it is in release in August, and August the 25th.
So it will be out and about soon.
Yeah, Ewan McGregor stars as the son and Christopher Plummer as the gay father. Mike Mills, by the way, he's a very famous video director. He's also the husband of Miranda July. He's just one of the hippest, filmmakers. Just guys out there. It's crazy. Crazy.
I mean, it sounds fantastic. So that's
Beginners.
That's called Beginners, top of the list. What else have you got on your list of looking forward to, Phil?
Well, you know what? Here's a bit of a bring you down a bit. I'm looking forward to Glee Live 3D concert movie. Seriously, I love Glee so much, it hurts.
You know what? I have just given Alan Tuxford, our fantastic producer and button pusher, and you've both just told me that you've just bought your tickets to the Dolly concert, and guess who you're both taking?
Our mums.
Your mums. Super gay. And now you're saying you want to see the Glee movie.
I know.
Paul.
See, there's a side of me you think I'm all art house and highbrow. No,
you do have a certain passion for Glee.
For the Glee. I love it. So that's going to be just, who cares? They're just going to be singing in 3D, annoys me, but whatever. They're singing, I love them. The film that I've actually seen, it's a back to the series.
Back to serious Paul
with the subtitles. It's a French drama called Tomboy. And this is the new film from the director of Water Lilies, which is that French drama, the lesbian drama.
Oh, yeah, that's a fantastic film. Say,
this new film is phenomenal so much. I still can't get over how good it is.
Did you see this at the Sydney Film Festival?
I saw it at the Sydney Film Festival, yes. It's basically about a family who move away. And then the 11-year-old, well, starts off, you think this older sibling is a boy. And he meets some new friends and introduces himself as Mikhail. And he looks like a boy. Talking, they hang around. And then 15 minutes or so into the film, when Mikhail is at home playing with his sister, and the mother comes in and goes, "Oh, girls, stop mucking about." And you just go, what the? So this character, Laura, wants to be a boy, and it's this phenomenal drama. And the kids, Laura and her younger sister, two of the best child performances I've ever seen, hands down. It's a really emotionally wrenching film, but it's beautiful. Like, it's not like it's all
angsty,
but it's just beautifully made. So that one, I confirm or deny being in the Melbourne International Film Festival starting July 21.
Let's hope, fingers crossed.
Let's hope it's going to be there.
All right. Well, that is fantastic.
Called Tomboy.
Now, I'm looking forward to. I know.
Bring it back down.
I'm looking forward to something which I know you're not looking forward to, and I just have to say this for the lesbians out there. Jodie Foster has finally directed a new film, her first new film in 16 years.
Wow.
I know.
It's Home for the Holidays, the last
one. Home for the Holidays was the last one, which is a fantastic film. And she's finally decided to get back behind in the director's chair. She's also acting in it. And it's appropriately called Beaver.
I knew that. I just laughed.
I know, because it's outrageous, really. But it stars Mel Gibson, who plays her estranged husband. And he manages to kind of, he has a breakdown. And the only way he can reconnect with his wife, Jodie Foster, is by using a hand puppet of a beaver. And he speaks through the hand puppet to kind of bring his family and his life back together. It sounds so crazy that if anyone other than Jodie Foster was doing it, I would be running for the hills. But I'm going to give it a go.
Yeah, and Mel Gibson, look, forget all his Lethal Weapon, blah, all the stuff beforehand. He could act.
He can act. So that's coming out at the beginning of August.
Yes, and that's going to be good. And the other one is, I think you're looking forward to Footloose, but
I am so excited about the remake of Footloose.
Everybody cut Footloose.
So that's out in October. The new trailer's just gone up. Dennis Quaid playing the father, everyone's favourite father. And Zac Efron was meant to be the new Ren McCormick, but he pulled out. He was scared of being typecast as a singing, dancing dude. There's someone known dancer in it, but I just don't care. I'm loving it.
And the other thing, I think, again, let's bring it up again with subtitle action, the new Pedro Almodovar film called The Skin I Live In, which is on Boxing Day. So that's something to 6 months' time, looking to the future. That's what we're looking forward to.
Look, there's a couple of other things, but we just don't have time to get to them. What I'll do is I'll compile the list and I'll put it up on our Facebook page so that you can have a look at what we're looking forward to in the future months.
Absolutely. Right up now, this is Navy Blues by Washington. This is Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9.
This is a Pink Popcorn podcast.
Well, that's it. The final Pink Popcorn with Kylie and Paul on Joy 94.9.
It's gone so quick.
It's gone in the wind.
I would just like to say a really, really big thank you to Sir Alan Tuxford, who is our button pusher and producer extraordinaire. And he hasn't just worked on Pink Popcorn. He also has done the previous incarnation of the movie review show called The Casting Couch. Alan has worked every Saturday for the last 2.5 years. That's over 130 shows.
Big commitment.
I don't know how you're going to fill your time, Alan, but I am...
Sleeping. He's yawning now. Is he sleeping?
He's already ready to go to bed. So I just think that's a huge, you know, volunteering at Joy is really about our passion and giving back, and Alan certainly has done that. Speaking of people from the casting couch, Dr. Mark Pace also called us and renewed his membership. He is one of the first from the casting couch. So thank you, Mark. And Thomas Caldwell, I wanted to just say a personal thanks as well, because he was the co-host that I used to work with on that show as well. So
thank you. Huge thanks to everybody.
We've also had some other regular Pink Popcorn co-hosts. Conrad Brown, Leni Fabri, Danae Gibson, who's moving on to Melbourne Queer Film Festival. Stolen her away. So, you know, we couldn't do it without those people.
And we've had some, it's so nice.
We've had lots of emails.
Look, Jill loved her show, inspired her to go to the flicks. Thanks so much, Jill. Anastasia.
Oh, Anastasia is fantastic. She also does a show on Joy, so check her out.
Oh, and then Adam. Oh, who's that?
Speaking of Adam, Adam Todd is coming up next with Bandcamp. He has promised me a mixtape, but you know what? You can have your own mixtape every week by just listening into Adam Todd's Bandcamp.
Amazing.
And also a big thanks to Pete Dillon, and we'll be doing a special 2-hour show next week at this time.
And don't forget, I mean, Kylie will still be doing Pink Popcorn reviews.
Yeah, once Andy and Adrian come back from their long service leave, I'll be doing a movie review with them every Thursday morning, 8:20. Plus, I'll be updating the Facebook page with movie reviews, and I will also hopefully be doing just some general movie reviews in other shows on Joy 94.9.
Absolutely. So, you know, it'll still be alive.
And this show wouldn't be the same without you, the listener. We have really appreciated all your feedback and we love doing it for you. So thank you to everyone.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.